today. We're in Isaiah 55. If you remember a couple of services back, we talked about Isaiah being compared to all of the Bible. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And the first 39 chapters are much like the Old Testament. The Old Testament, there is, the laws of God and the judgment of God and the prophets that spoke to a nation that was backsliding. But then the New Testament provided the message of hope through the gospel of the Lord Jesus, through the coming of the Messiah and all the wonderful blessings that came through Jesus. The same thing is true in the book of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters are much to do with God's judgment upon a nation that's backsliding and is in rebellion against God. But then, beginning in chapter 40 and the last chapters, the last 27 chapters of Isaiah, is this repeating theme of the gospel. Just keeps repeating the wonderful hope of the message of Jesus and the message of the gospel and the hope that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's really an amazing description of the mercy of God. God who shows up in mercy to a people that don't deserve it. That's what the gospel is for all of us. We don't deserve the mercy of the Lord. We deserve judgment. Every one of us deserve judgment. Because of Jesus, we receive mercy, and we praise God for his mercy that's extended to all of us. Ephesians chapter 2 says that God is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen. Who can figure that out? Who can comprehend the greatness and the mercy of the Lord? It's beyond our comprehension, but yet God has extended his mercy to everyone that will put their faith and their trust in the Lord. That's what the message of Isaiah is all about. We're going to read here Isaiah 55, beginning with verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Praise God for his word. This is an invitation to seek God, an invitation to call upon the name of the Lord, to be a seeker. In 1623, there was a Spanish ship called the Atocha, and it was loaded in Colombia with one of the most precious treasures you could have imagined. The ship was completely overwhelmed with treasures, emeralds, silver, and gold, all from South and Central America. It set out for Spain. It was a Spanish ship, set out for Spain, got into a hurricane, and it sunk off the coast of the Florida Keys. This was 1623. It wasn't but more than about 360 years later that a man by the name of Mel Fisher decided to search for the treasure. And he hired a ship, he hired divers, he had other investors who were backing his endeavor. He searched for days. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. Months turned into years. It took 16 years. He never stopped searching. He searched for 16 years. And in 1985, he received a radio message from his son, who was also a part of this search, that said, "We have found the mother lode. We have found it." And they discovered the treasure, 71 pounds of Colombian emeralds, 40 tons of silver and gold. The 1985 value of the treasure was $450 million that they found. I would say his 16-year search was worth it. After 16 years, he found it. It's a wonderful example, I guess an illustration to us of the need to be seekers after the things of God. To realize we don't just seek just one time, but we are, as Christians, we're in a continual pursuit of the things of God. We're always seeking for more and more and more of the things of God. We never give up. We just are to continually seek the Lord. I think it's wonderful when young people start seeking the Lord, and I'm grateful for how the Lord is working among a lot of our young folks, and I'm so grateful for that. But let me tell you, all down through the years of your life, and even to your latter years, you can still find the amazing treasures that are in Jesus Christ. And more, the longer you serve him, the more precious and valuable and wonderful are all of the treasures of the Lord. If you'll just keep seeking him, there's always more to know, more to learn, more to experience in the greatness of our God. Amen. And so this is an invitation to be seekers after God. Seek the Lord while he may be found, to be seekers after God. Interesting, that word seek comes from a Hebrew word, darash, that means to beat down a pathway. It means to a well-worn pathway. That's what we need between us and the Lord and us and the things of the Lord. We need to be seekers. We need to have a well-worn path that we have beaten down, because we're constantly seeking after the things of God. We're constantly hungering and thirsting for more of the things of God, that we just beat down a pathway of always going after the things of God. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a continual pursuit of the things of God, learning and growing and learning more and more about the things of the Lord. Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 29 and 13, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Folks, we're to be seekers after the things of God and to never give up, to continue to pursue after the things of God, and to understand that God has provided so much treasure for us if we'll just continue to seek after the things of the Lord. Amen. But notice here that there's a qualifier in this verse. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You don't seek God on your own terms. You don't seek after God in your own time or according to your own desires. You don't say, well, I'm young now, I'll put off serving God or pursuing the things of God. I'll do that later in life. I'm young now. I want to live it up and have a good time while I'm young. Don't put off to another day what needs to be done right now, today. Why, right now, seek the Lord while he may be found. It's a dangerous thing to try to seek after God on your own terms. Lord, I'll serve you someday. I'll serve you when it's a more convenient time, a more convenient season. No, this is the day. Today is the day to seek after God with your whole heart. As a young person, even as a child, it doesn't matter what age or what stage of your life that you're in, you need to be seeking after God and growing and learning in the knowledge of the Lord. Why? Well, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Don't put it off till tomorrow or next week or another season of your life. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day is going to bring forth. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about next week, next month, next year. You don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what's going to happen. Seek the Lord right now. Trust in the Lord and seek after the things of God. While you're young, get a hold of God. While you're young, seek the things of God. Don't allow it to be something that you put off until you're older. I know that sometimes young folks can develop an attitude, well, I've got a lot to live for, and I've got to pursue my life. I've got to pursue my career, and I've got all these things that are important. Sometimes you can get bogged down, young families and all the responsibilities of just making a living and day-to-day life and all of those things. While they are important, none of them are more important than your pursuit of the things of God. Calling on the name of the Lord and seeking after God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And call upon him when he is near, when he's talking to you, when he's dealing with your heart, when you sense the nearness of the voice of the Lord. Don't put it off till another day. Get a hold of God right now as the Lord is near to you and dealing with you. And then it moves, the message here of Isaiah moves into the important message of repentance, what it means to really seek after God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Amen. This is a call to repentance, to turn from your sin and turn to the Lord. That means stop the direction that you're going and seek after God. Stop the direction that you're going right now and make an about face. That's what repentance is all about. You're going as hard as you can go in one direction. Stop. Consider where you are. Turn around. Go the other direction. Go after God. Show up in the house of the Lord. Show up in the altars. Pursue after the things of the Lord. Turn away from the things of this world and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what repentance is all about. Stop sinning. Stop the sinning business. Pursue after God. Pursue a holy life. Pursue after the things that are pleasing to the Lord, and turn away from the things of sin and the ways of the world and call upon the name of the Lord. That's the call. That's the message that Isaiah is given. This is the clear message of the gospel that's being provided by the prophet Isaiah, that was for the nation of Judah, but it is also extended to every one of us here today to understand that God is calling us to return to him, to seek after him, to call upon the name of the Lord while he is near, while we have opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Lamentation 3 says that it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. What is it that stands between you and your seeking after the things of God? Most of the time, it's our pride. It's our pride. It's our self-sufficiency. Our thinking we don't need anything else. Our thinking we can make it on our own. We don't need God. But God works in our lives with reminders of how much that we need him. You may be going along pretty good right now, but next week or in a few days, you may find yourself in a crisis. That'll be a reminder to you. I need God. I need to call on the Lord. I need to seek after God. The things of this world will not satisfy. They're not enough. You need to turn to the Lord with your whole heart. And many times it stands between you and the Lord. Your pride keeps you from seeking after God. Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Don't allow pride to hinder you and keep you from seeking after God. Your self-sufficiency, your thinking you can make it on your own. No, you need God. You need the help of God in your life. And today, this is a day right now that God is calling you to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he's near, while he's dealing with you, while you sense the tugging at your heart and a recognition of your need for God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Verse number 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think we understand that there is a distance, there is a difference between our ways and our thoughts and the thoughts of God. There's a big chasm between us and God and our inability to comprehend it. I remember my dad, who was a good guy. He was a good man. He was a moral man. I never heard him use a curse word all of my life. He was a faithful person to my mother. He was faithful to his family. He worked and provided for us. In most ways, we would say, that is a good man. But he had a terrible time with faith, had a terrible difficulty recognizing his need for God. A lot of times it's true of people that are just living good moral lives. They don't see their need for God. And it wasn't until the last weeks of his life that he recognized that he needed the Lord and he called upon the Lord. Thank God for God's mercy to forgive. But a lot of times people have a hard time understanding their need for God and being able to see, because God's ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above us and so far removed from our ability to even comprehend or understand. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So God's ways are so far above us, it's hard for us to comprehend him and even our need for God. It was J.B. Phillips, great theologian, that said, if God were small enough for me to figure him out, he would not be big enough for me to worship. It's true. God is greater than we can even understand or comprehend. There is this great divide between us and God, and a lot of people can't seem to reach out in faith to believe God. But let me tell you, Jesus came to bridge that great difference, that great chasm between us and heaven and us and God. Jesus came to bridge that great divide. There's a song that was written by Squire Parsons that said, here's some of the words: the gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord, it was so vast the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his domain, it seemed so far. I cried, Dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. And here's the chorus of that song. But he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. He bridged the great divide. Amen. His ways are above us. His ways are beyond us. We can't even comprehend the ways or understand the difference between us and our knowledge of the things of the Lord. And so he came and condescended and became a man and veiled himself in flesh and provided salvation through Jesus the Messiah. And because of him today, we can understand what it is to be forgiven of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, that's the wonderful message of Isaiah. For then he says, for as the rain cometh down. Amen. The rain that comes down. He compared the rain and the snow to the word of the Lord. He compared it to the word of the Lord. The message from heaven that comes down like rain from heaven. And snow from heaven, it comes down. It waters the earth. And the effect of it is it brings forth and buds that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Glory to God. Isaiah is prophesying about the message of the gospel. And the power of the gospel would be like the rain falling out of heaven and snow falling out of the heavens, that it would come to the earth, and as a result, it would bring forth buds, fruitfulness, and growth. It would result as a result of the word of the Lord coming forth. Praise God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, the word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This was the word incarnate. This was the word of God coming down like rain. This was the message of hope, message of the gospel, coming down like rain, coming down like snow that would water the earth and cover the earth. And as a result of it, then there would be life and everything would begin to grow and flourish and be fruitful. And oh, what a glorious picture it is of what the gospel can do. Whenever you seek God, seek the Lord while he may be found. When you seek the Lord, then you can experience the blessing of knowing that God can bring forth fruit in your life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. Such a separation, such a difference that we can't reach across the chasm. But today you can put your faith in Jesus. And the gospel that comes forth like rain and it falls upon your heart that's ready to hear it. And the seeds of the gospel are sown. And as a result of the working and the moving of the Spirit of God in a service like this here today, you can hear the gospel and the rain of God's Spirit and his word that can bring forth fruit in your life and you can be transformed. And the greatest treasure that you could ever experience in your life can result from the power of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last two verses of this chapter describe the result, the effect of it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now Isaiah is talking to Judah about their deliverance from captivity and their return back to Jerusalem and how it was going to be filled with rejoicing. And of course, the New Testament picture of that is what happens whenever a sinner comes back from their bondage and they come to the Lord and are restored to the Lord and come to Jesus. And then there's nothing but rejoicing and glory and joy and being led forth with peace and all the rejoicing. and then fruitfulness in your life. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come forth the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What a glorious message of the gospel, and how that it can transform your life when you seek the Lord with your whole heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the sad end of the story of Mel Fisher is that the state of Florida took him to court over the $450 million treasure to take it away from him. He fought with them for years. It wound up in the United States Supreme Court, and they ruled in his favor that $450 million treasure belonged to him. But the sad thing is that he only lived a couple of years after that, and then he died. And he didn't take any of that gold, any of that silver, any of those emeralds. None of it went with him. All left behind. He sought after an earthly treasure, and he won it. And it really speaks very clearly to all of us that there's a lot of things in our life that we think are the most important thing. We have made treasures and called them valuable treasures in our life. We're seeking after a treasure that's going to pass away. Everything in this world is going to pass away. Everything you're pursuing, everything that you love, all the things of this earth are temporal. Only one thing is eternal. Amen. Glory to God. And today you can tap into that wonderful treasure by seeking the Lord. By seeking the Lord while he may be found. By calling on the Lord while he is near. And I pray that you'll do that today. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads, everybody, all over this sanctuary today. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, thank you for the wonderful message of hope that we have through Jesus. And Lord, we just pray today for those in this service that I know, Lord, that you are speaking to them, you're dealing with them because they have traded earthly treasures for spiritual treasures. They've allowed earthly things to be more important to them. They've been caught up in the things of this life and the things of this world. And we know it's all emptiness, it's all vanity. None of it is going to last. But Lord, the hope that we have is beyond earthly treasures. And Lord, I just pray today, Lord, for those in this service today that they're not serving you, Lord, that today they will begin to seek after you. They will begin to call upon the name of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that they'd recognize, Lord, that you came. You came to provide access. You came to provide hope. Lord, for some, Lord, that are Christians and have known you, Lord, but they've got distracted from seeking you, Lord. They got distracted by earthly cares. They've got distracted by worldly treasures. The things that this world has to offer. Lord, help us. Help us to lay all those things aside and to seek after you with our whole heart. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody,